C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, October 29th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The gender pay gap, the glass ceiling, work-life balance, those are just a few of the challenges many women face in the 21st century workplace. Sure, you could surf the web looking up the myriad experts offering advice on how to overcome these obstacles, or you could revisit a 500-year-old guide for newly crowned princes and royals.
What I loved about Machiavelli, and actually the reason that I think his work has endured, is that he looks at everything very analytically, kind of removes emotion and also morality from everything to look at, so what's your goal? How do you get there? What elements are in your way?
Coming up, we'll talk with author Stacey Vanek Smith. Her new book examines the principles of Italian diplomat Niccolò Machiavelli and how they can be applied by women and men in today's workforce. That's after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
For centuries, royals and other leaders have turned to Machiavelli's book, The Prince, for guidance on gaining and holding power. But did you think you'd ever use it to try to land a job, or negotiate a higher salary, or fight gender discrimination in the workplace? Stacey Vanek Smith has. She's the author of Machiavelli for Women, Defend Your Worth, Grow Your Ambition, and Win the Workplace. And she says that professional women can take a page from some of Machiavelli's philosophies. And she joins us now. Stacey, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here.
So Stacey, Machiavelli, this guy's name is synonymous with cutthroat, ruthless competition. Is that really what you're advocating for?
It's a fair question. Machiavelli does not necessarily have the best reputation. I mean, if you say that your colleague is Machiavellian, that's probably not a compliment. No, I do not advocate for backstabbing or anything like that. What I loved about Machiavelli, and actually the reason that I think his work has endured, is that he looks at everything very analytically, kind of removes emotion and also morality from everything to look at, so what's your goal? How do you get there? What elements are in your way? And I thought for dealing with something like gender discrimination or discrimination of other kinds in the workplace, emotions can run very high. It can be really hard to deal with these issues, both because they show up in material ways, i.e. pay and promotions and things like that, but also it's a very emotional experience. So I thought that the ability to try to remove emotion as much as possible and look for ways forward to handle the situation, to handle the reality that you're in, was very useful, was very helpful.
Okay, and so you shouldn't kill the families of your vanquished foes?
Machiavelli did advocate killing the families of your vanquished foes because he was worried that they would start plotting against you. And, you know, that's a valid point. I do not advocate killing your vanquished foes in the workplace. The workplace has many issues, but we have made some progress. But yes, that's definitely something he recommends and talks about, but I do not personally recommend that, no.
Okay. Now, we hear advice and recommendations all the time for people, namely women, navigating the workplace. What is it about Machiavellian principles that could be useful? Let's start with the job interview.
So the job interview is interesting. One of the trickiest things for women in an interview situation or in advocating for, let's say, a raise or a promotion is women walk kind of a tricky line. So it has to do with our expectations, our archetypal expectations of how people should behave. So, and these are totally unconscious biases. A lot of times discrimination happens by people who are not intending to discriminate, which is why it can be such a difficult problem to address. So when you look at what people's expectations are around women, they tend to be that women are self-deprecating, nurturing, compassionate. They don't make a fuss. They don't speak up too much. They're supportive of other people. But what we look for in leaders are people who don't care that much what other people think, people who are assertive, people who speak their mind, people who are direct. And so when women display those qualities, it's very tricky because off, if the woman displays lots of sort of archetypally feminine qualities, people will think of her as not a leader. And she's in the job interview you're talking about, probably not that likely to get a job if it's a leadership position. It's like, oh, she seems, but they will like her. They will think she seems like a nice person, a good person. If the woman goes into the job interview displaying a lot of leadership qualities, doesn't care too much what people think, brags, that kind of a thing, she's more likely to get the job, but also people aren't going to like her. So it's a tricky line that a lot of women walk when they go to do things, when they're trying to advocate for themselves.
And how about how Machiavelli's philosophy applies to the workplace?
I think Machiavelli's most useful advice, as far as I was concerned, was to kind of look at the situation you're in clearly and kind of look at what's holding you back. So I think the most useful piece of information, so one of the things that happens to women a lot is they're promoted much more slowly. And that can be a very frustrating experience, a very emotional experience. And it can be kind of nebulous as to why things aren't happening. So I think clarity is the name of the day. Machiavelli was a big advocate of clarity. But I think saying something, one of the women that I interviewed in the book is this woman, Neha Narkede, and she is a unicorn founder. So she founded a company in Silicon Valley that's now worth billions of dollars called Confluent. And she said the thing she would do if she asked for a promotion and she wasn't getting it was she would ask for exactly what she needed to do to get what she was asking for. Like, okay, I understand you don't think I'm ready. What exactly do you need to see from me to give me this promotion or to give me this raise? What are you looking for? And that moves things out of the realm of nebulousness, which is where a lot of discrimination happens, into concrete things. And so your boss is like, oh, well, I'd like to see you do X, Y, and Z. So then you leave, you go do X, Y, and Z, and then you come back with concrete things. And that clarity is really powerful. And I think that is the most powerful message of Machiavelli is.
Now, that's theoretical, but what about you? Have you applied those principles yourself?
That's a great question. The answer is yes, of course I have applied these principles. So I found out that a male colleague who had less experience and was less productive than I was, because of course I did lots of charts, was earning, I think it was $20,000 more. It was a lot more. And of course I was completely devastated and emotional, and I cried in the office of my boss. And I did everything wrong. I made every possible mistake. It's very embarrassing for me to think about it, honestly. What I wish I had done is, if I had to do it again, if I had to apply Machiavellian principles, I would say, oh, well, I'm being underpaid in my job. There's $20,000 on the table at least. And what's the best way for me to go about getting that money? So then I could think about making the case. I would get some data together. I would get some numbers, get some clarity, go into my boss's office and say, listen, it's come to my attention that my colleague is making more than I am. That doesn't seem quite right. Here's what I think, you know, based on this metric and this new data that I have, here's what I think I should be earning. What do you think? And not been upset and angry and accusatory, because although I think those emotions were justified, they were not useful. So instead of going into my boss's office super upset, I'm going into my boss's office with an idea of how I want to move forward, with an understanding that I'm in a good position to ask for something. And that could have been a much more productive and much less emotional conversation.
Now, you mentioned at the top of our conversation that not all of Machiavelli's advice should be taken, namely the violent or inhumane ideas. But are there examples of more humane suggestions from Machiavelli that readers should take?
One of my favorite pieces of advice from Machiavelli was he said that a prince should always stand up for those who are less powerful to a greater power. And he said the reason for this was because when you're standing up for other people, the greater power is not going to resent you for it. You're going to be sort of grudgingly admired by the person you're standing up to. And the people you are standing up for will be very grateful and loyal to you. So that's the tactical reason. But it was nice to get advice from Machiavelli that you should stand up for people who have less power. And it translates very beautifully, of course, to the workplace. The other thing that I think has made a big difference for how I look at people in the workplace, and I think maybe even just people in general, was Machiavelli says men injure out of either hatred or fear, which is an interesting idea. So if you have whatever, an adversary in the workplace, the idea that if you feel like they're attacking you or undermining you, where that's coming from is not just sort of malice or general evil, but they might be afraid of something. They might personally feel like you have done something to them, taken a position they wanted or something like that. Actually, I found that very humanizing. It makes things less personal. It's sort of an explanation for some of the the toxic behavior we sometimes see in the office. You know, people are just afraid. And I feel like, especially during the pandemic, you know, we're all dealing with so much that it can be important to do what Machiavelli did and kind of step back and say, well, where is this coming from? This person might be really stressed. They might be juggling a million things I don't know about. They might be worried about family or friends or the news. So that was actually a very sort of humane piece of advice from Machiavelli.
So we've been talking mainly about how women could apply Machiavelli's advice. Could men use some of Machiavelli's advice as well?
Oh, yeah. The workplace isn't easy for anyone. You know, I feel like there's this idea of like, oh, if you're a white man, everything gets handed to you. I don't think that's the case at all. And I think that is not a useful place to start this conversation. I think the workplace is hard for anyone. You know, we all have to, you know, we're all here because we're trying to pay our bills and we're also trying to get some satisfaction out of our jobs and find some meaning in our jobs, most of us. And I think it can be a difficult thing. It's work can be very emotional. It can be very fraught. There's a lot happening. I mean, work is a large part of kind of how we define ourselves often, especially in the U.S. So I think it's important to remember that, you know, negotiating isn't easy. I mean, I think there are a few people who like negotiating in this world, but I think for most people, negotiating is hard. It's very emotional. There's a lot of ideas of value wrapped up in it. So yeah, I think Machiavelli's advice is very relevant to everybody, honestly.
So ultimately, what's the biggest thing you want professional women or any career seeker to take away from Machiavelli?
I would say that there is a way. There is a way. Things can feel so frustrating. There can be what seem to be an overwhelming number of obstacles. Things can come up that can be very demoralizing, things like that. A lot of us are exhausted and burned out and everything. But I think the nice thing about Machiavelli is it's just a puzzle. Like, of course there's a way to get where you want to go. What's the best way forward? Try this, try that. And I think it can be really energizing. There is a way. It might not be the way that you first try, but that doesn't mean there's not a way. And that would be, I think, the biggest message for Machiavelli. There's a way. Find the way. Find the way.
All right. That's author Stacey Vanek-Smith with us. Stacey, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you, JR. It's been a pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.